It's another Monday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Monday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight as the Hoosier basketball team hits the home stretch. Four of their last six at home, including last night's running the Minnesota Gophers out of Assembly Hall 90-71, and Purdue game to come Thursday. We'll talk a lot about the Purdue game on our show on Wednesday night, so you'll want to tune in for that. But tonight we've got a couple games to cover as midweek the Hoosiers had headed out to Maryland and lost on the road 68-66 with Yogi Ferrell missing a couple shots, including a three-pointer that would have won the game a little long, and then getting a chance at his rebound for a two-pointer, and that rimmed out. Also, so a pair of games to talk about, but we start with what was a historic night in at least one fashion, maybe even two if you want to go there, for the Hoosiers against Minnesota as they set a Indiana record in Big Ten play for three-pointers made, 18 of 32 shooting from behind the arc. And certainly when this team shoots the ball like that, it's going to be really hard to slow them down. 90 points, not surprising at the end of the night. But Glass, what I thought, I mean, we've seen with this team, it can rely on the threes sometimes a little bit too much, and it can, you know, shoot them and maybe give them some fool's gold. But I thought last night, 18 of 32, I thought that was, you know, outside of Troy Williams, who doesn't make them on a regular basis anyways, I thought it was really, really good offense. It was great ball movement. It was great body movement. It was great penetration. There were 23 assists. There were 18 turnovers, but I thought this team moved the ball well and shared the ball well. I thought it was just very good offense, not relying on the threes necessarily to bail you out of something that you got yourself into badly.
Looked like the Maryland game. Pretty pretty same. Up 4-6 at half, and then go out and shoot more threes and make more threes, and that's the great equalizer. The first two baskets out of halftime were three-pointers, took a six-point lead to, what, 12, 50-38, mm-hmm. and boom, before you know it, it's 16, and before you know it, it's 18, and away you go. Yeah, when they make shots like that, they don't have to worry about some other things like turnovers or bad decisions or bad shots or things like that, because when they go in, they go in, and not a lot of teams are going to beat them. And when you do that at home, too, that's not even going to be an argument. And Minnesota played pretty well earlier in the week at Iowa and forced the Hawkeyes to a colder shooting night. Hawkeyes didn't score many points that evening. I don't think they were in the 50s. If they were, just barely. So Minnesota came in flying, and Minnesota started off hot. They were up 17-10 before Indiana finally found their feet, finally quit turning the ball over, and started making shots. But I think that's the key. Making shots is the angle. And to see where this team is right now, Robert Johnson and James Blackman Jr. were, what, 5 of 24, 5 of 27, whatever it was against Maryland.
5 of 27.
And then they turn around and go whatever they were, but they were 11 for 18 or 15 of 24 against Minnesota. So you have the highs, you have the lows, and everything else in between. But take out Yogi's 1 for 6, and they were 17 of 26 from 3, and that is more than ridiculous. That is way past ridiculous. That almost makes 15 of 22. Look somewhat normal. So again, it doesn't paper over the cracks. It shows you what this team is capable of doing. It's just you haven't seen maybe one of those performances on the road against a top-level opponent yet, and that's still the stretch. But looking at both these games this week, you got two different things that Indiana hasn't seen recently. Number one, they had an effort on the road where they weren't down double digits at any point. The biggest lead Maryland had was 6, and then they blew out an opponent at home, which they hadn't done since Maryland. They had some tight games against a not a very good Rutgers team and not a very good Michigan team. So you want them to start playing their best basketball in the final third of the season. The result wasn't what you wanted at Maryland, but it wasn't a time for you and me to sit around here and waste 10 minutes of your time on Monday and talk about, well, we're down 28 and here are the good things we have to take out of that. That's not what we're doing today, and that's better. And what you want this team to do is get better and find a way to not dig themselves that hole, find a little bit more consistency offensively at home, because you know, and we saw this against Maryland, Dave, go back to that game and then look at the next five or six games after that. Indiana didn't shoot it that well, home or away, after that. Right. So that's not something you can just say, hey, we're going to mark that down once every third game. That's going to happen.
But do you think this is fool gold for this team?
It isn't. It isn't. It is because they all go in. That is. You want Troy Williams taking 2 3-pointers a game? I don't. I want him dunking.
As long as it's only two.
Well, but again,
he'd
taken one to that point in the season, and then he doubled that last night and made two of them. And you saw him knock down an 18-footer as well. I was listening to the game on the radio, and Don Fisher said, boy, if Troy keeps making those, they're going to have to come out and guard him. Well, there's a reason Troy hasn't been taking those, because he's not as effective there than he is around the basket. Sure, if Troy made all those, Dave, or made 58% of them like he does from everywhere else, he wouldn't be here right now.
He certainly won't
and
be
if
next
he continues
year,
to make those shots and take them in right situations, I don't think he shouldn't not shoot them when he's wide open. Don't get me wrong. Is Troy Williams more effective going to the rim and dunking the basketball or laying it up over traffic than he is from 19, 22 feet? Yeah, he is. But if he can add that next layer to it, that's part of the deal moving forward. Now, should we expect Troy to start knocking down 18-footers? I'm not going to just yet. I don't think that's fair to Troy. That's not his game.
I don't think we want to try too many.
Indiana gets out of their game, that's where they've struggled. They've struggled when they've had to force some shots that they're not used to. They've struggled when they've been down 8, 10, 12, 14 points when they've tried to get back in games, trying to get it all back in one bite. Well, they didn't have to do that against Maryland because they were in the game. Again, 6 points was the biggest deficit. And against Minnesota, 7 points down at home against the Minnesota team who was 5-7 in league play and had one road victory. So they found ways to be a little bit better than they had been in the last couple of weeks. It's a sign of improvement. I'm never going to be satisfied 1-1 in a week of anything, but it is better, and I'll give credit where credit's due. It is better.
Well, as far as Troy's threes are concerned, and I think he actually had a couple jump shots that he hit in the Minnesota game. In addition to those two threes, it struck me that I think his first shot of the day was an outside shot, but really it was a lot going to the rim from that point forward, and it was later on in the game that he went with those threes. But it was a good week for Troy in this regards. First of all, almost a pair of double-doubles, including in this one is the most important one to me, including at Maryland. Not that Maryland is a huge group inside, but they've got decent size, and where we've seen Troy disappear from time to time is on the road in a big environment. 17-10 in that environment. We're looking for the little nuggets of growth when it comes to Troy Williams. You've seen a little bit of that from time to time, but you've always also seen him completely disappear in a couple games. A Michigan State game, he was a complete non-factor in that game. So there are spots where he has kind of disappeared, and we've seen what this team can be when he's being his athletic self and hitting the boards in particular. And it's a team that's, first of all, was competitive, as you mentioned, at Maryland, but then it just helped blow the doors off of Minnesota. And yes, there's 3-pointers in there, but
lots
to me,
of them. 54
but,
points.
But to me, Troy Williams is still such a huge key for this team, because who else in this conference right now is like Troy Williams? I mean, who?
Oh, from an athletic side,
Dawson?
Of things, or a guy averaging 4.5 turnovers a game.
Well, that's fine. I'm talking about the growth here. He's 2 years younger than Brandon Dawson. He's the closest thing I can think of off the top of my head.
But Dawson's an automatic rebounder, and Troy has the games where he gets one rebound. Right, and
Absolutely.
Again, that's part of the growth as a sophomore. But it's getting better, and it's not two games on, one game off. It has been a better streak, and that's what it can't be. We got to take the word streak out of it. That's what's going to get Indiana to the next level. They can't have streaky play in the backcourt. You can't have half the backcourt one night and half the backcourt not the other night. Those aren't things that good teams do, and good teams win on the road, and that's the next thing. Indiana, Dave, has played the four best teams in the league on the road and hasn't beaten any of them, and that's what's going to take to win a Big Ten tournament championship, and that's what's going to take to advance in the NCAA tournament, is beating teams in neutral and road courts.
Lost during the week at Maryland by 2. We'll talk about that game and what it means, if anything, for the Hoosiers going forward. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is our phone number. Hoosiers 1-1 on the week. Blow the doors off Minnesota last night at Assembly Hall 90-71. We're going to go back into midweek. We were, of course, on the air Wednesday night, and the Hoosiers tipped off at Maryland at 9 o'clock on Wednesday night. Okay, so you've got a contrast here. You've got the Minnesota game where, like the Maryland home game, good offense, shared the ball, moved the ball, moved the guys, got it around, and in this particular case, hit a ton of shots. And you know, I know you did that against Maryland a little bit too. They were 10 to 25 on threes at Maryland, which means that got them through some things, but it wasn't overwhelming. They did not win the rebounding battle for one of the few times in the Big Ten, and that's something to talk about separately also. Only six turnovers. They did a lot right on Wednesday night. They didn't win the game, but we've been talking about this team going on the road and getting their doors blown off, and suddenly against the top 10, five team in the Big Ten, they competed pretty hard, even though some things weren't working real well for them.
No, it just shows you the difference, though, about winning ball games and being close in ball games. And that's the next step this team has to make. Is they right now they have to play, I don't want to say perfect, but it's got to be pretty close. And when you don't check all those boxes, you can't leave your backcourt. You can't leave two-thirds of your backcourt, 5 of 27 or 5, what was it, 5 of 24? Whatever the number was.
5 of 27.
What ain't good? And you can't go on the road and have 22 missed shots from those guys. And I don't care what the numbers are. That's not a recipe for winning the basketball game. Yeah, six turnovers are great, no question about it. You had a lot of really good things, but again, until you check 95 of those 100 boxes, it's probably not going to happen because Indiana just hasn't made those plays in those games. The good news was it was different. That's what I'm looking at. It was different because Indiana didn't sit around and have to look each other down 19 and say, okay, now let's start pressing. Let's start taking some quick shots, and we'll shoot our way back into things. They didn't. They had chances down the stretch. They led the game, I believe, 63-61, but couldn't get a stop because they got beat on two mismatched post-ups. You had a 6'9 layman go down and post up Robinson at 6'4 and Blackman at 6'4 on consecutive possessions and score. Maryland took the mismatch and did what they needed to do with it. So there are some of those other things that have to happen, and it's not about one missed shot. It's not about two missed dunks or a Hartman missed layup or a missed look at the buzzer. All that stuff happens during 40 minutes, and you have to overcome all of it. Mm-hmm. You can't take one or two possessions off or get caught in mismatches in the last 2 minutes of a one possession game. You saw why not. There was no help. There was nothing. Lehman went down, but backed both those guys in, made a good post move. 6'9" is going to score over 6'4" a lot of the time.
Right?
Yeah, there was. So that's something you learn from, and you know what? That's good coaching from Turgeon. He saw the mismatch, and his kids went to it and trusted it, and the kid made a play. And all you can do is take your hat off to him on that. But that being in that situation, down when you're chasing the game, yeah, you get a little bit lucky. You bank in a three. Okay, maybe you don't make the last one because you banked one in. Nobody remembers that. You come off a curl and bank one home in a game there, and you're down
That's
four.
That's what it's there for.
Well, in Maryland, misses a free throw. What do? You come down, take advantage, boom, and hit a three. And, again, you keep yourself around because you're making threes, right? Because you're making that's the key. That's what Indiana does well. And again, they just came up a little bit short on it. And the one thing that you didn't see, the Hoosiers press out to a 6-8 point lead, Dave, and make Maryland uncomfortable at home. That offense just couldn't take it over the top because two guys were 5 of 27. You had good looks. You had some good shots.
They're good
opportunities. Not all those shots were terrible. That's not what I'm trying to say here. James Blackman Jr. was ice cold. He had the big dunk on three guys, got everybody fired up.
Your best player, we talk about this in every sport. Your best players can't have lousy nights, and you think you're going to win a whole bunch of those games. I mean, you might get through a couple of them here and there.
That was the old joke when we played Maryland and hit however many threes in that game and knew you were going to Ohio State on Sunday. We save a couple for for going over there. But that's the next step. The next step is getting comfortable being in those situations. Again, chasing the game down 32 at Wisconsin, chasing the game down 20, whatever what it was at Purdue, chasing the game, 17, 18, 19 at Ohio State. Those are situations where you let it fly and you don't care what happens. You're already getting beat bad enough. These situations where you're talking about a possession here, a possession there. Blackman's got a wide open three in a corner. Why wouldn't you want him to take that? That's why he's on your team. That's why you recruited him.
He started getting hesitant at the end of that game.
He did. He was looking for one better pass. Yeah, and I don't have a problem with
that. And you understand that because at 2-14 at that point in time, you know, you're kind of like, geez, you can't watch that again.
You know why? Because he's a freshman, and he hasn't been through this before. And what he thought about, you know what, at least he was thinking. Some guys there would shoot with a guy with a hand in his face just because I got to shoot my way out of
it.
At least he had the basketball IQ to say, I'm going to look one more pass and see if I can find an opener guy. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of open. And, I can shoot it. James Blackman Jr., every time he has the ball in his hands, theoretically can shoot it.
Sure.
He's that good.
He's
loud. I think he can get his own shot. I think he can bounce. He can get up where guys can't get on him if necessary. So he at least was in the thought process of, we're on the road. It's a big deal. It's not my night.
Let's
I'm looking somewhere else.
Right, sure.
But when he catches it in the corner and you're thinking, oh, geez, guys run out. What's he care? Guys run out of him all the time. It's like, oh, it's right on. And you notice Blackman's misses. He has one, maybe one a game that you're like, ooh. But the rest of them are just – Yeah. That just just a little left, a little right, a little long, a little short. It's all that's what a shooter looks
it's
like.
It's such
folks.
Good
that's
form, it and it's exactly. Usually pretty damn close.
And the other thing I forgot about that the Big Ten guys did a good job of reminding me about last night was Robert Johnson did have the knee problem from Ohio State, and
that's
his
right.
jumper was off because guess what you shoot with? It's not your arms.
Well, James Blackman had an ankle problem.
Not
sat out a game for
it's
that.
It's not your wrists. It's not your fingers. It's not your thumbs. Mm-hmm. It's your legs. And you got to get lift, and you got to get balance, and you've got to be square. And when you're doing that on an 85% knee and 100% knee, you're off balance. James Blackman's ankle. Good thing. I don't want to make excuses because Indiana University gives us no updates on any injuries. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you what these guys are. All I can tell you is he's not wearing the knee brace. That means his knee's feeling better.
Yeah, right.
That's how I can look at it. But to have the confidence to keep shooting him, I think that's the good thing. These, to a degree, were not terrible shots in the sense of covered or not covered. A few of them in the scheme of what was going on, maybe at 28-27 in the shot clock, a little too quick in a tight game on the road, where maybe you get the hotter hand a look first, and then if it rotates back to you at 11-10-9, mm-hmm. you take a look. But Yogi was on fire that night. Troy was getting his down by the baseline. Those should have been the options before it. So you got to give the kids credit for not shying away and staying in the game and shooting it. Mm-hmm. But again, this decision making in tight games, Indiana has to do a little bit better job of to get easier shots. And in the last play of the game was a classic example of that. Yogi Ferrell had just hit a three to cut it to one.
A couple of
Maryland, banks one, then he hits one with whatever that was, and then they come back down and he lets it go with 6.6. And there's the picture of Troy underneath the basket. I don't care if he's calling for the ball or not; it's not about 40 yards of him.
No.
That's the issue. But it's a good look. Yogi feels confident shooting it. He just shot you into the game. He banked one in for crying out loud. But again,
good look.
You dump
it
down there.
Look.
Sure. And he makes it. You know, the ball goes through the net at 6.0, 5.8. Who knows what happens after that?
Right.
It was one of those deals in those situations where the Georgetown game, we had a situation Blackman was in. He took a quick three where maybe you didn't need it at that time, and maybe he learned from that, making that extra pass against Maryland. This is the little bitty stuff that's so boring and minutia, but what it does is it separates really good teams from good teams. And teams that make the extra pass and teams that can execute that offense late and have guys knock down the open shots. That's part of executing offense, Dave. You can draw it up perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this Indiana team last year made 144 threes all season. I think they just made they're at 200 and change now. It's not even close, right?
244.
Because you got guys that can make
absolutely.
Them. So your offense looks better. Your shooting percentage looks better. Your assist numbers look better.
Four guys with 95 attempts and all are shooting
so
over 40%.
You can't have a game against Maryland at home where you knock down 15 of them and then tell the guys, hey, look, you're not shooting it tonight because it's not working out. It's just part of the growing up process. The good news about this offense is a lot of those shots were open. So what they're running is working.
It's working, absolutely.
It is. So you just have to be patient. You have to make that extra pass. And again, Yogi shooting that three wasn't the problem at the end. The problem was there was a better option that, for whatever reason, wasn't taken. Troy gets a dunk there. You got a tie game. Who knows? Maryland can go down and hit a Des Wells tipping at the buzzer and beat you anyhow. It doesn't happen, but they're that close. But that's, in my opinion, those are the things you have to do. Get that mismatch doubled. Run at a guy.
Mm-hmm.
Get Lehman forced out of the post. Foul him. Do something. Make the extra pass, make that. They're just these little things that separate winning on the road from losing on the road. There's not a big secret play you can run. There's not a big secret pregame meal you can have or a dance or a handshake. You have to execute in those situations.
333-2665 is our phone number. They started the Big Ten season with a win on the road at Nebraska and then got their doors blown off at Michigan State, went to Illinois and won at Illinois. And since that time, it had been a series of, again, top five teams in the Big Ten, Ohio State, Purdue, and Wisconsin, but also a series of blowouts. They end up 12, 16, and 14 points, but they were worse than that in every one of those games. In this game, it's a two-point game. You know, you could look at all the differences between these teams. I'm looking at it more from the IU standpoint. You've got a young team. You've got Yogi Ferrell as the leader who, you know, one night he's scoring, the next night he's assisting. You need it all. You'd like, I think, a little bit of all of it every night. To me, and I want to get your opinion on this, to me, I understand the goal has to be you need to win the game and you want to win the road games. You're not happy that you went to Maryland and lost by two and had a look at the end that might have won the game for you from the standpoint of you celebrate it. But I think you've got to look at the with this team and look at the growth of some of these guys in that scenario. And yes, they had a lousy shooting night. And again, for the first time in a long time, they didn't hit the boards the way they had been hitting the boards. They didn't own that statistic at the end of the night. But they went on the road. They didn't turn the ball over and shoot themselves in the foot. They gave themselves good shots and simply didn't hit them. And at the end of the game, they're right in this game on the road. And if that's the goal, then I think you've got to at least look at it from that standpoint and tell them, hey, look, you are that damn close. You sew up a couple more of these little rough edges here, and you're there. So don't take it as you guys still haven't figured it all out. You're that close. You really are right there. And at home, they've managed to do it both ways.
I don't think there's a downside to any of it. It's again, you can't have two guys get double figures and the next player have eight. That hasn't been the recipe for Indiana's success winning anywhere.
Scoring is, but
so you had, you know, Johnson's 3 of 13, Blackman's 2 of 14. And again, you got nothing from the bench in that game, right? I mean, you got 8 points, which is decent.
Yeah, not much.
But what is that, 35 minutes? Those that again, you didn't get any help for the two guys that weren't doing it. And we talked about, and we've joked about other teams, and we joked even with ourselves when Indiana went to Michigan State, when Hannah Perea and Troy Williams had how many 2 points,
that
6 points
completely
in 50 minutes, you can't expect to win. Look how close they were against the Maryland team having two of those players. Yes, it has gotten better. There's no question about that. But moving forward, it just shows you on the road what has to be done. All the little things have to be done. You can't turn your head and cough just to tie your shoes because, hey, you're taking a possession. You're not. You weren't happening there. And I think moving forward, you go to Rutgers and Northwestern next on the road, right?
Yeah, those are your only two games left.
And
road games.
It has to happen in one of those two, or if not both, right, to validate what you did at Maryland. Because I don't think you can go back on the road to a team like Northwestern, who's won two league games, and Rutgers has won two league games.
Critics of the team, I mean, people are just only critical of the team, are never going to give you credit for a road victory at Rutgers or Northwestern.
I don't know.
But you're right. This team needs to win one or both of those on the road.
If you're going to get the true sense out of it.
If that was an improvement, they win those two on the road.
If you want to mention yourself in being a top four seed in the league, if you want to be in that conversation,
you can't say,
well, it just didn't happen at Rutgers and it just didn't happen at Northwestern.
Right.
Well, where else do you want it to happen? There's no other choices where you can figure it all out and put it together. Do I diminish if they win those games? No, not at all. But I can't sit here and say, oh, well, the Rutgers is a tough place. No, it's not.
It shouldn't be.
Wisconsin had a tough night there. Nobody else has. Nobody.
Yeah.
Nobody's had a tough night. Iowa had a tough night at Northwestern. I know they've had a lot of their games that are close, but a team that loses 10 out of 11 isn't a team that you say, oh, okay, I get it. Not if you want to be in that conversation. That's a big step. Getting in that conversation isn't handed out. Ask Iowa. They were 6-4 entering the week. They lost at home to Minnesota and lost at Northwestern.
Yep.
Now they're 6-6. Could have been 8-4. Whole different.
No, it didn't
you
take
gotta
care
go
of business.
Out there and you got to win games.
And that might hurt him in the tournament,
absolutely
certainly.
Right.
333-2665 is our phone number. We'll look back at last night when we get back. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. You're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is a phone number. Quick programming note. We got the schedule back on schedule, so Joe Smith Sports Talk will be live from Yogi's tomorrow night once again.
Huge program tomorrow night.
6 o'clock here on the airwaves and over at Yogi's, but he announces tomorrow night the new Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame class number 5. They've done a great job picking all eras of Monroe County sports figures and teams. And we'll get a whole new class tomorrow night. We'll be with you Wednesday night, 6 o'clock, as always. And then Friday night, we're back to high school basketball with Bloomington North at Columbus North. 7 o'clock is Chalk Talk and 7:30 tip-off for that. 333-2665 is the phone number. So the Hoosiers lose at Maryland with a chance late in the game to win it. Come home on a... very popular Wednesday or a Sunday 7:30 game.
Sunday 5:15 next week at Rutgers, or this coming weekend at Rutgers as well.
All kinds of fun.
Can you play college basketball on Saturday, please?
Can you
let like the MAC and
I guess the ACC dominated Sunday for so long.
That
the Big Ten wanted a piece of it.
That was the last game of the night. It was a 6 o'clock game, and it was great because it was. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, it's a quadruple header on Sunday. 1:35 and 7:30. I get it. If you want to differentiate yourself, and no one can argue because the Big Ten Network gives you so much money. Yeah. You have to do what they tell you. But from a fan standpoint, 7:30 Sunday followed by 5:15 Sunday. I mean, NFL games start before that. Yeah. Come on. Can we have some fun?
Well, now that the NFL games are gone.
Gee whiz.
And I tell you what. Big Ten is apparently filling in.
I heard Don Fisher on the radio last night. I was listening to Don and Eric and Joe or Laz or whoever fills in for that. And Fisher had pulled no punches last night. There's nobody here.
Yeah.
It's 7:30 on a Sunday night. It's freezing. There's a winter storm advisory getting ready to start. Now, the Big Ten Network doesn't know that when they scheduled this game.
Sure.
But, again, not you know what? Thursday night, 7 o'clock, Purdue is going to be a hothouse. 9 o'clock, home, Maryland.
Yeah, it'll be crazy.
Thursday night's going to be a hothouse. Yeah, you can get those. But, boy, to have the extremes of that. Gee whiz, can you have a Saturday game once or twice?
Yeah, I don't.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't get it. But
I guess
it is what it is right now.
You're a slave to the television, and we're all victims. We're all victims of it. At least the Rutgers game will be over at dinner time,
right,
as opposed to starting at dinner time.
The Hoosiers slept walk a little bit through the beginning of that game as Minnesota took the lead.
It was a sloppy start, Dave, and that's all right because you know at home they've got the crowd to be there to help them bounce back. They haven't had many problems, if any problems, at home being ahead. Now, maybe burning some leads down, they've had a little problems.
Rutgers held a lead for a good long time on them.
But again, they always found their way.
Yeah, I mean, the first 5 minutes of the game, don't overreact.
But again, it's some of those little things where you're throwing passes cross-court, and it's going through a guy's hand. He should catch the ball, Robert Johnson. It's not a big deal. Yogi throws your cross-court pass. You jump up and you drop. It's like, well, that shouldn't happen. And then Troy's a little bit out of control here. Then you've got some questionable shots there. Then you dribbled off your foot here. And it's 17-10.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that we know, being micromanagers of Indiana basketball, because that's what we do, because we pay attention, is you know that it takes three shots to get this team back in the game.
Yeah.
And what do they do? Boom, boom, boom,
three pointers,
shots. And there you are, 19-18, you're ahead in the game. That can happen at home, but good teams in other spots have punished Indiana at that level.
There are a couple different facts in this game that I wanted to ask your opinion on.
Number one.
Number one is 23 assists and 18 turnovers.
I'll start with the assists.
I'm an assist guy. I am too. And I mean, again, it's a gauge of sharing the ball and finding guys
and
who are making shots. I mean, there's no question about
that.
In the first few minutes of the game, certainly you felt like it was a turnover machine. 18 seemed high to me at the end of the game.
No, because the first 4 minutes, bring up your possession. Robert Johnson had two turnovers in the first seven
seconds. Oh, yeah, the beginning of the game, no question.
And then Troy started off the second half, jumping into the lane, into Eliason and losing the ball. He had a couple more of those, or maybe it wasn't Eliason in the second half. It's just plays where, again, we get too fast or we get two thoughts in our mind and we can't get out of them. But when you shoot it that well, that's why I don't think anybody's talking about the turnovers today. Whatever the number is, you had as many turnovers as three-pointers. So it's 54-4.
Well, and I don't – look.
And they'd have to hit 54 again.
I said the other night before the Maryland game that the key stat to me was going to be turnovers, and they held to six turnovers and it kept them in the game. But 18 turnovers and you still score 90 points, I get it. It's the three-pointers that makes it 90. But to have 18 turnovers and still win comfortably, to me, you're doing a lot else right
because,
in addition.
Yeah, and because a lot of that is the shots that are going. How many assists did they have at Maryland? Well, Robert Johnson and James Blackman Jr. missed
12 assists.
22 shots. Yeah. So give them half of those, they're 17 assists or whatever the number is going to be. So it wasn't that far off.
Mm-hmm.
Just the shots go in, it looks better. The shots don't, it doesn't look better. If you'd have told me Yogi Ferrell had, 7 points last night, you scored 90 and win by 100?
Right.
Gee whiz.
That's surprising.
Great job for Yogi, career high 11 assists. Awesome. You know why? The shots went in. Yogi didn't pass it any better or make any better or worse decisions. The ball moved, the ball rotated. When the ball goes in the basket, especially from the three-point line, it should open up a lot of things, and it did. And Indiana got good looks at the threes. It wasn't, again, these weren't forced up
No, they were good shots. It was good offense.
It was good offense.
There are times when they rely on the three to get them back into something, and it's not necessarily great shots.
And Minnesota has good guard play, obviously, all the steals they make and everything else. But when you move the ball and don't rely on the dribble all the time, some of that dribble got it stolen because those guys are good at what they do. Remember, Minnesota practices. Minnesota watches film as well. So we'll give their defense, which we should, that credit, forcing some of those by taking the ball away, and Indiana threw the ball away as well.
This is going to sound insane. I do this from time to time.
You've come
know
to
me.
The right spot.
18 to 32 on threes, 59% overall shooting, 23 assists, 90 points. But I thought, I came out of that, and I was actually really impressed with Minnesota's half-court defense in particular. The press didn't cause us much problems, but I thought they were very well organized. I thought they worked together in kind of twosomes with their
they
traps.
Hunted in packs,
they did this really, really well, and you know, the Hoosiers ended up taking advantage of it. I mean, there's no question about that, but I was actually impressed the way they looked in as a unit on the defense.
I thought it was very similar.
Didn't stop anybody.
I thought it was very similar to the Maryland game, where Indiana was up, 38-34 at halftime against Maryland? They were up 44-38 last night. Johnson's tip in at the buzzer. Right. Good to get one of those instead of give one of those up at the end. And you thought, boy, Indiana shot it really well in the first half and did a lot of good things, but they're only up six. Same feeling you had against Maryland. It seemed like every time down the court, Indiana scored, but they couldn't hitch the wagon up and pull it away. And lo and behold, if the second half of both those games weren't almost – now, I know Indiana didn't shoot 9 of 11 in the second half against Minnesota like they did against Maryland, but it was close. Would they shoot in that game?
In the second half against Maryland?
Against Minnesota. Last night, I mean, they
64% in the second half, 55% in the first.
Well, there you go. And Joe and I were laughing this morning. Said, you know, Indiana killed Maryland or Minnesota on the glass, whatever, to 16. I said, Joe, they didn't miss any shots. When were they going to rebound? They only missed one free throw. That's only one free rebound. They didn't have any shots to clean up. They all went through the hoop. And back to your point about Minnesota's defense, which I think is excellent. What breaks backs? What kills spirit? You do all that good work and four on the shot clock, and boom, there's James Blackman, swish in your eye.
Right.
Rotate it one more pass to Robert Johnson. Next time down, boom, in your eye. There's a steal, boom, and one more three, and there's a 11-0 run, 38 seconds.
Bam.
See you. Goodbye. You make all those, you're gone.
333-2665 is our phone number. The other stat,
fun
you mentioned it briefly there.
Fun to watch.
This Minnesota team started three players that were 6'9 or over. Those players played 24 or more minutes. They did not go small in this game. They did take one of them out and go three guards most of the time, but they had two of them in the game most of the time. These guys played 24 minutes or more in every case. Maurice Walker played 28. Joey King played 31.
Yeah.
I know he's not a huge banger, but they're all 6'9 guys. 35-16 is the Hoosier advantage without what amounts to real true big guys. I mean, Perea played, 14 minutes? Holt played 11. Again, a 19-rebound edge on a team that's playing three guys that are bigger than your biggest guy.
That team missed more shots, and Indiana grabbed more rebounds. They've always rebounded well. James Blackman Jr. wrangled up seven more rebounds.
Yep, again, Troy, nine.
And when those two get after it like that, that takes the pressure off of Holt and Perea, where you don't have to play.
And rebounding machine Nick Zeisloft had four.
Well, good for him, because it all counts, because then you don't have to have Perea and Holt on the floor for rebounding. If the guards are rebounding it, you have Zeisloft, who's a much better shooter than Holt and Perea, and has to stretch the defense, which opens the driving lanes, which opens play through the paint. The shocking thing about last night's game was the 9 free throw attempts. That's it. You score 90 points, you only get 8 of them at the line?
Yeah.
That's not what Indiana wants to do. You asked me if it was fool's gold earlier. No, because you have to still make the shots. The shots are contested. It's a live game.
It's not shooting off a ball rack
like Steph Curry, where you hit 13 in a row and win the three-point shooting by 100 million deals.
Right.
But what does Tom Crean always talk about?
Going through the lane.
Going through the lane, playing through the paint. Troy Williams, even he was hitting jumpers. You told me. He hit two threes, I know, and he hit one 18-footer. I know that.
His first shot of the game, I think, was an 18-footer.
It was a baseline fadeaway that went in. I watched it right before we came in. Fading away, and he made it. Those nights are going to happen. It's when those nights don't happen, does Indiana continue to play through the paint? How many free throw attempts did they get at Maryland? Going
10?
Through the again. So what happened?
Yeah,
Robert Johnson and James Blackman, all those were missed jumpers.
Yeah, I got a little
not going
happy
through the lane. Well, and you saw why last night that can happen. You saw why against Maryland at Assembly Hall that can happen, because they've hit so many of these and they shoot it pretty well. You get three from being back there. Going to the basket stops you. You get two from the foul line. And they're really good foul shooters too. Mm-hmm. That's part of growing up. You just have to understand what days you can take it, what days you can't. And the days you're 6-for-10 and whatever Johnson was, 5-for-9, 5-for-8, when they're going in, they're going in. It's just another level of efficiency when you can get it both ways. And it seems like when Indiana plays really well, Dave, it's been based on the three, which I get. But 19 free throw attempts in two games, 1-1. Yeah, that's probably about fair.
I'd rather have 19 in a game.
Probably about fair.
333-2665 is our phone number. Got to take a quick break. I'm back in just a couple minutes. You're in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Quick programming note again, the schedules have opened themselves up here at WGCL, and Joe Smith Sports Talk will be live tomorrow night from Yogi's at 6 o'clock, where he will announce the fifth class of the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame. And if you haven't been paying attention to this, you're really missing it, because it's pretty awesome seeing some of these old stories, some that we know about.
Immortalized.
Yeah, some from the very early in the last century. And so it's entertaining to see. They do a great job with this, and you're going to want to hear who they put in to the next class. That's tomorrow night, live from Yogi's and right here on WGCL at 6 o'clock.
Just when you get comfortable, a week from tomorrow, back to high school hoops as it's senior night at Edgewood. They welcome Cascade. So one Joe Smith Sports Talk in the month of February because of all the hoops going on. But February is basketball season, Dave, so that's not a huge surprise anywhere else. North at Columbus North is our broadcast game on Friday, 7 o'clock Chalk Talk with Coach Hodson. And that is normal as sadly, the ladies in our area have all been eliminated from the state tournament. So the boys are back in town as the girls' regionals and such will move to the weekend next weekend.
So now let's take the lessons, if you will.
Took a bad Minnesota team, a 5-7 team, and beat them. You beat them handily at home, and that's what you needed to do.
You beat them well, and I want to stress this. You beat them well. You out-rebounded them. You doubled up their rebounding and more, despite the fact that Colin Hartman played about a minute and a half in the first half.
Sure.
Despite the fact that Hunter Mascara Perea, had a couple flashes but is only able to play about 15 minutes a game, played 14.
Let me ask you a question.
We've still got no height out there and had to play Jordan Fuchs for 2 minutes just to buy a little bit of time into a timeout.
And to get his feet wet, too.
Sure.
In a Big Ten atmosphere, you're going to do that at home and not on the road. Did you play better against Maryland or Minnesota? I think you played better against Maryland. You just didn't shoot it as well. You played better basketball. You defended better.
You
held the line.
I'm not sure it's right, but I think it's fair. I thought they played well at Maryland.
That's my point. Against Minnesota, I don't think they played poorly.
Two of their better.
18 turnovers to 6 turnovers. Yeah. There's an argument to be made there.
Absolutely. And that's why I was trying to make a positive out of the Maryland game, because
I don't think there's anything
you had
wrong with
two
that.
Of your best scorers not be able to hit the broad side of a barn. You're relying on Yogi. You get a great contribution from Troy Williams. You lose the rebounding battle, which is not what's been happening for you in the Big Ten despite your lack of size. I thought the Maryland game, all in all, was a good game. It wasn't the result you wanted, but it was.
The Achilles heel that reared its head in the Maryland game was, number one, freshmen don't always fire on the road. You know that. Freshmen from other teams don't do
that,
except D'Angelo Russell seems to for every game but one this year. I know the kid's really, really good. Go pro, please get out of here. The other thing we said last Wednesday before the game started, I remarked, let's not sit here on Monday and talk about how Wells, Mello Trimble, and Layman killed you. They're the only three guys in double figures, so you didn't take anything away from Maryland. So it was good. But again, that's that checklist I'm talking about. What happened? Well, you let the three best scorers score the best.
Right.
You didn't take that away, and maybe you fell a possession short or two possessions short. Those are the things that happened.
Well, but
you take that, plus your freshman not firing, plus being out-rebounded, plus there's just those little inches of factors.
I agree. But that's why I look at it. Not that it was great at the end of the day.
It was not. I
get that. But all these things, it didn't work out the way you seem to win games. You shot 37%. You got out-rebounded when you normally don't get out-rebounded, believe it or not. You had 6 turnovers worked in your favor. You're still in a 2-point game at the end.
Is this team known for their defense?
No.
They're known for their offense.
Right.
So they played pretty good defense.
Yeah.
Right? So you give them that check mark. 6 turnovers, you give them that check mark. These are the good check marks, right?
Yeah.
You had 18 turnovers last night, won by 100. You had 6 turnovers, you're right in a game on the road.
Created 13 for Maryland.
There you go. So you're plus 7 in the turnover battle. You hit 10 threes, right?
Yes, both teams at 10 threes.
So you're even there. Again, so
you didn't get to the free throw line.
You only got rebounded by 2.
Yeah.
but you let their three best players do the three best things. Mm-hmm. You didn't force someone else to do it. Indiana, on the other hand, had their two of the four. They had half fire. And you've got to have all of them.
Well, the other two guys got plenty of shots.
Because when Indiana doesn't make them. But again, that's the thing. Indiana couldn't stop them from scoring as their weakness. Their strength is offense. And their offense didn't fire, and Maryland took advantage of it. I thought the game against Maryland on the total was better basketball because of the lack of turnovers. Because of the
hell of an entertaining game, too.
The rebounding, because of the way the game was played. Right. Minnesota just ran into a buzzsaw because Indiana hit a bunch of jump shots. Were they sloppy? Sure. But when you're sloppy, turn the ball over up 13-15. It's not the end of the world.
Get one back.
It's this, it's that. Yogi didn't have a very good scoring game, which you need most nights. How many nights is Indiana going to chalk up victories when he's in single figures?
Yeah, absolutely.
Not many. So I thought in whole, the basketball was better on the road in a hostile environment. It should be a little bit easier against a 5-7 team at home. It was. Indiana won. So I think the growing out of this week is you took care of the business in quite easily, which we haven't said in a few home games, and then you played better than you had been in the last four. That would be the fifth one on the road. So I think that's why there's the positive in it. So I think you can make the argument the Maryland game was a better experience. The result from the Minnesota game was better.
It's only 1 week. It's only two games. You could go back a little further and add the Michigan win at home into
it.
Here is the question. And again, I don't want to make everything out of this. We talk about this for a long time. It is the 16th of February. Is this team playing its best basketball?
It's from what I saw the last week.
I thought this week it did.
It's turned in that
it's
direction.
Keep going
again,
up. But
I'm not going to hand out cookies beating up a 5-7 Minnesota team at
just,
home.
I'm looking down the line. We got five games left in the regular season.
Hanging on for dear life to beat Michigan at home.
Is it
what
playing
you should,
the best basketball you've seen them play?
The game against Maryland
not
was
the best they can.
The game against Maryland was the best road basketball game they played this year because of the opponent, because of the players. The players on Maryland are better than the players on Nebraska. They're better than the players on Illinois, and that's why that game is the best road game, even though they didn't win it. You would have liked to have had the victory. It wasn't, and now it's simple. Again, you want to break these down into two game seasons? No, I don't.
Where we are here today.
Just win the next game.
We don't have another one before.
You got to beat Purdue.
Before Wednesday
Purdue
night.
Absolutely took you outside the shed at Mackey Arena and did what they wanted to you for a long period of time up there. It started at 30-15 in the first half. It got up to, I don't even want to remember, but it ended at 83-67? That was plenty.
It was ugly.
Revenge isn't the dish on Thursday. Playing, getting through the paint, getting to the foul line, making the extra pass. That's how you're going to beat Purdue. That's how you're going to beat Wisconsin. That's how you're going to beat Michigan State. That's how you're going to beat anybody playing that way. It's not going to be hoping you make 18 threes. It's got to be better basketball.
It'll be cold Thursday night, so you can serve that revenge properly.
There'll be an absence of temperature on Thursday night.
We've got to take off. We'll be back Wednesday, so tune in then. Tomorrow night, Joe Smith Sports Talk live from Yogi's at 6 o'clock. So tune in for that also, and we will talk to you Wednesday. You've been in the zone.